Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold-cut combo, veggie delight, or Black Forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, my name's Daryl Ong, and you're tuned in to the show that brings you closer to the people and places of our capital city. Cities can be a scary, overwhelming place with millions of strangers living a fast-paced rat race life. It's a common feeling to feel lost and lonely in the metropolitan crowd. It's weird, isn't it, that crowds can make you feel more isolated and ultimately, but not physically, alone. Our strict Asian values and path of life have given us even less space to innovate, with the rate of anxiety and depression being higher in urban rather than rural settings. This week on the show, we talk to a very interesting group called Tribeless. They are led by Gwen Yi and Yi Ze. They are a community for people who feel unmoored from traditional Asian values, with an aim to scale self-discovery and self-acceptance in the social-cultural context of Asia. In a way, creating a tribe for the tribeless. Here's Gwen Yi from Tribeless telling us what it's all about and how it all began.
It was really interesting. I met him through a mutual friend in Singapore when I was there earlier last year. And we clicked instantly. And one of the conversations, so at the time he was still pretty much a stranger, was about the issue of tribelessness, a term he coined. And tribelessness is essentially what he considers people like me and him, people who have veered off the natural course of life, so to speak, and are exploring different ways to be our most authentic selves.
Okay. Well, what would you say is the natural course of life?
So I guess what is typically accepted here in Asia is, you know, the normal route of going to school, getting a job, retiring and dying. So we are searching for a life of more meaning and purpose. And that doesn't necessarily mean that having a 9-to-5 means not having a purpose. But we believe in knowing why you choose the path you choose and just sticking to that and knowing with full authenticity that that is what you chose.
Okay, that's what I want to talk about next. You aim to create a safe space for young Asians to support each other right. in their journey to living an authentic life, like you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Define authentic for me. What is a real authentic life?
I think right now in society, especially Asian society, there are a lot of external influences that impact the choices we make. So our family, our friends, even society at large, there are a lot of factors that are pushing and pulling us in different directions. And there's not as big of an emphasis on individual choice. So, for example, right now you chose to be a radio host. Why? Like, is it because your parents told you to? Is it because it's your own passion? So just being very conscious of those choices. And even if you're doing it for your family, just owning that choice and knowing that this is what I've committed myself to. And that's being authentic.
Right. But, you know, the term authentic, it might be different for a lot of people. For a lot of people, 9-to-5 is the real life. You know,
they
aim to excel
yeah.
in that. So I guess you're trying to find a group of people that feel out of place in a way?
Out of place in the sense that, for example, let's use the 9-to-5 example.
Yeah.
If you know why you're doing a 9-to-5, then you're living an authentic life. Because a lot of people feel, for example, that they can make the biggest impact in a 9-to-5. And that's fine. It's not like, well, for example, living that entrepreneurship lifestyle where we say that everyone should not do a 9-to-5. You know, that's not what we're advocating for. We're advocating for a lot of self-awareness and
right.
self-discovery so that you know why you're doing what you're doing.
Okay.
And that's being authentic to us.
Okay. This might be a bit of a personal question, but are you living your authentic real life?
I think I'm heading towards that, and that's the reason why I'm building this community, so that I can find other people to walk with me on this journey.
All right. Gwen, before you built Tribeless, you actually were involved in a whole bunch of other things, right?
Yeah.
Can you just bring me through what you have done and why you decided to leave that?
So before Tribeless, I was on a hamster wheel of achievements.
Okay.
So I knew right from the beginning that I didn't want to live a life that was normal by other people's standards, and that I wanted to create a very big impact. I wasn't sure how, but that's what I knew I wanted to do. And so I set off on a very tumultuous journey, you know, basically crossing the Atlantic, the Pacific, in search of mentors, community, support, and basically opportunities that could help me grow myself and broaden my worldview. But I realized that at the end of the day, the people and the places that I most wanted to serve were here at home.
Okay.
So after going through that entire journey, I realized that what was most important wasn't a long list of achievements, but basically the amount of authentic relationships you had.
I see. So your group's primary focus is helping out the community?
Yep.
Providing them with tools to fill a societal gap.
Mm-hmm.
Has this always been, I mean, I read through a couple of ventures that you went through. They seem to be filling a gap in, you know, filling a problem.
Yeah.
You had a platform that helps teachers as well.
Mm-hmm.
You seem to like to help people.
I do. And I think that is, again, something that's very authentic to me. Okay. I've never been very profit-driven, and that's gotten on the nerves of a lot of, like, my co-founders, my teammates, because they're all very...
very selfless.
They're very monetary-driven. But for me, yeah, like, profit always comes second to purpose.
Okay.
So it's something I've struggled with quite a bit, but I now understand and I'm reconciling within myself, like, this issue I have with money and understanding that to make any venture sustainable, it does need to be profitable.
Yeah, and, so, you know, the more revenue, the more money you get, the better the product
exactly,
can be in the end
yeah.
of the day. Okay. Tribeless, you guys operate on kind of a four pillar of principles, I guess.
Yeah.
So you'll be gathering stories, building communities, role modeling, and creating frameworks. Can you just explain?
So at the moment, we're still at the first two stages. So early stages, we started with the dinners. So at the dinners, we basically bring together a bunch of strangers that are personally curated by me. So they apply, look through the applications. I pick out the ones that I feel like are genuinely interested, okay. and I bring them all together
okay.
for a hosted and facilitated dinner where all the topics, everything that happens in the dinner are very meticulously curated and facilitated by me. So that's the process that we've been going through right now. Through those dinners, I'm hoping to foster enough connections to eventually build into the other aspects where, for example, the podcast or the series of interviews that we're planning to have, I want to highlight the stories of young Asians or young millennials in Asia who have strayed away from the beaten path and are living those authentic lives and just highlighting their stories. Because I believe a lot of the media nowadays and even a lot of communities are very industry specific. So, okay, this podcast is all about entrepreneurs. This podcast is all about artists. But why can't we just have one that highlights the stories of people all across the spectrum
right.
and giving the next generation the inspiration to see that, wow, there are people out there who are living their dreams
right.
and being authentic to themselves.
There
so
are people that have been doing it and
have been
done
doing
it,
exactly.
So for example, right, I come to a dinner, it'll be a talk, it'll be, you know, meeting like-minded people, exchanging stories. But come back again, I also read that you always change the format, you always...
Yep.
You don't make two dinners the same, right?
Yeah. We're always experimenting with different formats to see what brings people together the best and what fosters the best connections.
Okay.
But I think we're slowly converging on the ideal format, so to speak. I won't share it. You have to come and experience it for yourself. But I think we're slowly getting there.
All right,
so,
great. Yeah. In your experience, you know, KL, we are a bunch of, I won't say insular people, but we are very close and, you know, our business is our business, right?
Yeah.
It's very hard for us to open up to especially a stranger. How do you get people to open up, one? And also, in your experience, what are the benefits of actually voicing your concerns?
So for me, I have never been a very vulnerable person. I have always had this wall up. People only see my highlight reel. And even throughout my entire journey, going through, you know, all the ups and downs, I've only shared the ups. But I think because of that, when I had depression last year and I came back to Malaysia, I had no support system. And so I believe that, okay, I kind of lost all my friends and I didn't know who else to open up to. And I really, really needed that support. So that was the primary reason I started Tribeless. And the primary reason why I believe it is so important to voice out your vulnerabilities and the pain you're going through. Because by building this community and by establishing from the get-go that this is a culture of openness and authenticity. We are all here. It's a safe space. Everyone's going to be sharing exactly the same thing you're sharing.
Mm.
No judgment, no small talk. We're all here to help and we're all here to listen.
Right.
So by establishing that, the people who do eventually sign up and come, they're all interested in that. So I think I've kind of taken a load off myself to say, like, you know, getting any randos, but like, please come and share. But the people who come, they want to share.
Okay.
So that's the first step. The second step is me overcoming that fear of vulnerability and modeling the way. So I would typically lead every session with my own personal story and being very authentic and vulnerable so that everybody else will feel that change in atmosphere and they will also feel comfortable to share. Mm.
So it's pretty much a case of who throws the stone first.
Yeah.
And everyone would, you know. Yeah. So you kind of play a role of a therapist, right?
In a way. And a lot of people have said that. So that's why I'm saying that we're slowly converging on the best format where it's not only, you know, doom and gloom and therapy, mm-hmm. but we're also incorporating a lot of aspects of, you know, community, warmth, happiness. So there is a good mix.
Okay, cool. I just can't help but thinking, especially for, you know, I don't stereotype people, but the people in KL, do the people that come to your dinner see this as a last resort kind of thing?
I don't think so. And I think a lot of people come out of curiosity, which is the best part. Okay. So I don't tell them much. I don't really say like what's going to happen at the dinners. They don't even know who's coming, right?
Exactly.
So for them, it's like, okay, it's just a night. It's just a night. Let me see what's going to go on. But I think when they do come and they realize that we are all so similar deep down inside and we all have the same fears, we all have the same hopes, we all have the same dreams. And that is when the barriers are broken and everyone realizes that they can come together.
Have you ever, you know, how many dinners have you had so far?
We've had six.
Six dinners, so one a month?
One a month, yep.
Has there ever been a problem too big for Tribeless?
We don't claim to provide solutions. Okay. All we provide is an ear and the community support.
Okay, I think that's important because I'm guessing the people that come to your dinners often are looking for solutions, right?
Not necessarily. So that's the interesting part. I think when you're mired in that situation, like if you're depressed or if you're facing some sort of really, really emergency situation within your personal life, you wouldn't actually come out and seek help in this way. I think what Tribeless is at the moment is people who have gone through a lot of pain, but have come out at the other side of it, and they want to figure out what to do next,
right.
How to avoid that happening again, and how they can thrive on the next level. We do have people who are facing problems, but I think what Tribeless does is it gives a very positive spin on it. So we have people who have come out to us. We've had people who told us about their mental issues. And I think what happens is by having this community of no judgment and no small talk, people are willing to just talk about this. And by airing out your dirty laundry, that in itself is catharsis.
All right. Like you said, you change the format of the dinners every time.
Yep.
But also, I know you want to keep your strategy almost a secret, right? But something you do employ is the IDEO method cards. Do you use that as the ice-breaking sort of thing, or is it a big part of the meat?
We have a lot of different ice-breaking and facilitation tools that we use. So IDEO method cards are one of them. It was created by IDEO, the design firm in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And on one side, it's basically, you know, different facilitation and design research techniques. But on the other side are just these really, really strange pictures. So what we did the last time was we got people to project meaning onto these pictures. So they chose a card, and the cards had stuff like a woman with a bird, right. Or like a guy holding a Nokia phone. And they essentially inherently have no meaning. But by telling them that, okay, you chose this card, it attracted you, can you tell us why? People came up with these really, really, really obscure stories from their own lives that they never gave much thought to, okay. Which actually highlighted a lot about themselves as a person.
Cool.
So one of our attendees who has come back the most, she has attended every single one of our dinners. She chose a card with the lady with a bird on it. And the story she projected onto the card was her professor was someone who looked very much like the old lady. Okay. And her professor was someone who actually impacted the trajectory of her career very much. And when she was younger, she enjoyed playing with animals, especially birds, and magpies were a big thing in Australia. So, like, these really random tidbits on someone's life, but she managed to piece together a very interesting narrative of, like, how all of that came together.
Yeah, because if I have been there, I would say, oh, it's a woman with a bird.
Woman with a bird, exactly.
So it's interesting that people actually interpret it in a different way, and it has emotional triggers to them.
Exactly,
almost, right?
Yeah.
Can you tell us a bit about, you know, so you hold it in your home. It's been in a safe kind of environment. How important is this, say, to somewhere like a cafe, for example?
So for the first five dinners, we've been having that at the same restaurant. And it was a nice restaurant. It was a pretty nice environment. But people weren't going deep enough because of, you know, like one participant very eloquently said, you know, I can't be telling that I'm gay and having the
right.
the waiter walk past and going, what?
Right.
So I think having that safe environment in a house where it's intimate, there's no interruptions, that's the best environment that we can come up with so far. So we'll be continuing to take a note out of the Matsalis book and having dinner parties more often.
Yeah, I mean dinner parties are the best.
Yeah.
Let's dive into a bit of a more general issue now. Do you think that living in a bustling city in KL is easier to fall in this hole of being lost as opposed to, say, if you live in a village where everyone's very close community, you know, maybe not seeing it as a personal goal kind of thing, but in a sense where you have people around you. In the cities, it's easier to feel lost, right? Even though you have more people around
you. Feel alone in
the
crowd.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think that is the result of a lot of recent evolutions to our, you know, anthropology and our culture. So Asians by nature are very communal. That's why we put so much emphasis on what our parents say, what society says, etc. But at the same time, I think right now, where there's a very tight conflict between the old and the new, in the sense that what your parents think and what their time was from and what we are currently experiencing now are so different. And yet, we are still mired in very ancient values of, like, listen to your elders, respect your elders, etc.
Right.
So we feel that tension. At the same time, with the advancement of technology, you know, we talk on WhatsApp more than we do in person.
Yeah.
So all these things combined make us very difficult to have authentic in-person connections. And I think that is the very real problem that is facing all the main Asian cities at the moment, where the metropolitan lifestyle, where people are hanging out with the same group of friends, same habits, same family, telling them the same things. They think that they're going somewhere in life, but really what they're doing is they're just being like very small and very scared and living in fear. So not daring to veer off course or explore new possibilities. And I think what Travelers aims to do is to just give people a glimpse of that possibility of what life can be when you don't even know what the options are if you don't let yourself explore.
That was Gwen Yee, one of the co-founders of Tribeless. If you'd like to be part of the tribe, do go check them out at tribeless.co. That brings us to the end of this week's episode, but just to remind you, if you'd like to check out the podcast, you can head over to our website www.bfm.my/ilovekl. Also, if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can tweet us. We are at BFM Radio. My name's Daryl Ong. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week on I Love KL, the show that brings you closer to the people and places of our capital city, right here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Your work week sounds like this, but then your weekend somehow still sounds like this.
Screen time is over, Avery.
But it doesn't have to.
Okay, get in the car. We're going to Overland Park.
Whoa, are we going indoor skydiving? Can we ride the streetcar? Mom, this is cool.
Family-friendly fun of Overland Park with big city perks of Kansas City. KCOP, close to home, far from routine.